Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's an NBA Playoff Wednesday live in Los Angeles. The Herd. Maybe you've heard about us. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Very excited. Hosted by Jersey Mike's. You know the Herd. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. You get fed today. So, it's amazing. There's so many things out there. We're all on our phones all day, right? So, you got to get my attention. And the only way to get my attention, Joy, is with urgency. Things that matter.
Of course.
So, now, last night, I felt it all day. Couldn't wait. Wizards, Celtics, sat down, watch every minute. I was like, all right, here we go. Now I get 2 months NBA playoff stuff. Tonight, Lakers, Warriors play.
Can't wait.
By the way, I had to go 8 hours yesterday without eating because I had a little thing to do with the doctor.
That was a huge challenge for you.
I'm a nibbler. I eat every 45 minutes.
You graze.
I had to go to a fast food place, order it before I went in because I was so hungry. So when I walked out, I could just eat. It's an incredible. I went to Raising Cane's. I'd never been there before.
Ooh,
it was
good
delicious.
For you.
It was delicious.
Oh, God, yes, we know.
Try smelling chicken fingers for 45 minutes in a car, and you can't eat them, and you're starving.
It's torture.
All right, let's start with this. If you didn't watch the game last night, Jason Tatum scored 50. Game was kind of ugly until the third quarter, and, you know, Tatum did what stars do. Took the game over. In fairness, Bradley Beal was not 100%, so I don't take much from the game. These are not championship teams. And, you know, listen, I'm going to talk Westbrook. Let's just get it out of the way. I'm going to talk Westbrook. And a lot of people, you know, he didn't play well last night. Oh, no, he didn't play bad last night. That's what you get in 50% of Russell Westbrook playoff games. That's what he is. Go look it up. Comment. He was 6 for 18. His playoff career three-point percentage is 29%. 39% from the field since he left KD. That's last night is what he is in the playoffs. He's 32, playing basketball since probably 7-8 years old, maybe younger. He's been playing 25 years. He's got no feel for the game. I mean, if he was a sports car, he would never downshift. If he was a NASCAR driver, he'd hit every third wall. There's an old saying in football, like live for another down. Like Philip Rivers, and I loved him, but Philip Rivers didn't understand that. Like understand the moment, live for another down. Philip didn't get it. Russell doesn't get it. I mean, but since KD left, Russell Westbrook, folks, he's played 25 playoff games. He's won 7. He averages 5 turnovers a game. He shoots 39% from twos. That includes layups and dunks, and 29% on threes. It's Charlie Brown kicking the football. You guys are always like, well, I mean, he didn't play well last night. This is what he is. This is what he is in the playoffs. It's the same thing. He has no feel for the game. And it really is an advertisement for athleticism has its limitations. You can be incredibly athletic. Michael Jordan, LeBron. But Michael Jordan, LeBron, and Kobe had a great feel for the game. They understood the moment. I mean, look, Michael's the classic example of turn it on, turn it off, step into it, lean out of it. Westbrook's got none of it. So when I hear, well, Westbrook didn't play well last night. No, this is about 50% of his playoff games are 5 turnovers, a bunch of meaningless rebounds. He can't hit a three-pointer, and he shoots under 40% on, like, twos. That's what he is. I mean, it'd be like saying, I mean, Philip Rivers threw 2 interceptions and had a brutal interception late. Yeah, that's pretty much Philip Rivers' career. You can't tell me, oh, I cannot believe Philip Rivers threw a pick late in a big game. Well, that's on you, because that's like half of his big games. He threw a pick and you'd be like, Philip, what are you doing? You started for like 10, 12 years. So people say, oh, you're anti-Westbrook. We've gotten to a point, the media is so soft that if you're honest about players, oh, you're mean. That's what Westbrook's playoff games look like, 1 out of 2. Now, he will light it up at some point in the postseason if they remain. And by the way, the fanboys will race to social media to remind me, but That really wasn't a terrible Westbrook game. It was about half of what you see in the postseason. He's played 25 since he's left KD. He's won 7. That's it. Let me defend Brad Stevens. And I don't know. I mean, you know, we know he's a good coach. Is he a great coach? How many great coaches does the NBA have? I mean, Popovich was great. Kerr seems great. You know, I think Spoelstra is really great, but a lot of good in the NBA, not a lot of great. Phil Jackson was great. Doc Rivers is good. Is he great? I don't know. But we ask our basketball coaches to do a lot more than our football coaches. We're very unfair to basketball coaches. We ask them to do things that we don't ask football coaches to do. And I'll give you an example. So we think of the Celtics as well-run. I mean, this is a profound organization. 15 first-round picks, many of them high picks. They've hit on 2. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They have hit on 2. And Jason Tatum's a lot better than Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's good, but he's inconsistent. He's not as consistently great as Jason Tatum. So Brad Stevens, this is what, year 7-8 in the rebuild? And they feel like they're a mile from an NBA championship. You see, in the NFL draft, you get 23-year-old men. They've played college football minimum 3, mostly 4, often 5 years. Mostly from big programs. They're well-coached, training tables, elite staff. I mean, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma. These kids are ready to play. So I understand accumulating draft picks in the NFL. Like, I get that. In the NBA, you get a 19-year-old, sometimes from high school, overseas, G League, or briefly, 1 year of college basketball. Meaning he is not physically close to playing. And frankly, who at 19 is ready to play in a professional league? I wouldn't have been. I was pulling fire extinguishers in high school hallways. Give me a break. In the NBA, we want our coaches to be developers. The hell? You don't have 4 years to develop people. You get fired. I mean, Boston is an organization without chaos. Danny Ainge been there a long time. Brad Stevens a long time. It took Jaylen Brown, one of the 15 first-round picks that worked, 4 years to pop. Can you imagine Urban Meyer having to wait for 4 years until Trevor Lawrence could go 25 of 32 with 3 touchdowns and no picks? He'd be out of job. He'd be fired. We ask our NBA coaches to be 48% coach, you know, 12% babysitter, you know, 36% developer of talent. We don't ask our NFL coaches that. You hire an NFL coach, you go draft. I mean, what you'll see with a lot of NFL general managers, they like drafting players from Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, the big dogs. Why? Because those are like NFL training tables in college, NFL facilities, NFL weight programs. I mean, those kids are ready to play when they get there. Coach doesn't have to babysit them. These NBA kids can't even drink at the bar. They can't drink at the bar at the Ritz-Carlton they stay in. And so, and by the way, so 15 first-round picks Brad Stevens has had to deal with, all of them, and 2 have made it. But that's a big ask. That is a big ask for these coaches. I'm watching last night. The minute Jason Tatum is off the floor, Boston is painfully untalented. Marcus Smart's one of their best players. He can't shoot. They're painfully untalented. So I just think, you know, we ask NBA coaches to do things we do not ask NFL coaches to do. 15 draft picks, most of them great first-round picks high, hit on 2. But we've asked Brad Stevens, you got to develop them. I mean, you wonder why it's a turnstile in the NBA for coaches. We're asking them to do things we don't ask football coaches to do. I mean, good God, even the way the contracts are set up, you could cut Tom Brady tomorrow. You just have a cap hit. You can cut anybody anytime you want. So and in the NBA, you got to make sure you get along with a star. I mean, Brad Stevens, great coach. Kyrie, flaky Kyrie comes in. It doesn't work. I mean, Kyrie bailed on LeBron. He thinks the earth is flat. He doesn't work with Brad Stevens. Do we blame Kyrie? No, we blame Brad Stevens. In the NFL, at least the coach is like, Antonio Brown's a little off. We blame him. In the NBA, Brad Stevens wins everywhere, has a bad year with Kyrie. Kyrie has a history of, like, just taking sabbaticals midseason, and we're like, ah, it's Kyrie's great. Brad Stevens can't coach. You know, we are tough on NBA coaches. And I'm watching Boston last night. You couldn't take Jason Tatum off the floor. It was like a bad YMCA afternoon. So I don't think either of these teams are championship teams, but before we got everybody run out of town, take a deep breath. I mean, I was telling my staff this morning, is on my staff here, this is nobody's first job. Joy Taylor had done radio in Miami for years, and she was on another show at a network, and then Joy comes in. And my staff, people have worked in New York, L.A. We used to have a writer for Kimmel, The Onion. It's nobody's first job. If I was an NBA coach, I'd have a staff as my first job. Oh, can you go down? No, I can't go. I can't even walk through the bar at the hotel. I mean, but the show would be, I mean, it would be a mess. I'd forget content. I'd be teaching people how to do a show. I mean, Brad Stevens is literally spending his time throughout the last 7 years teaching people how to play professional basketball. That's hard. You're not teaching Alabama guys how to play pro football. They just had Nick Saban. You're not teaching guys out of Clemson and Oklahoma how to play pro football. I got a lot of energy. I slept well last night. You don't want any piece of me today. Just no piece. By the way, John Lynch came on the show yesterday. He had I think I'm going to give him an award later today. We've got to come up with an award. Remember when we created the Big J Journalism Award?
Big J Journalism Award.
Tyler Dunn, because he was a local reporter in Green Bay.
I don't think we've given that to anyone else since.
No, it's very prestigious.
Yeah.
We're not like the Oscars where we just hand out best actor every year.
You have to earn this.
Earn it. We've given out one Big J Journalism Award. I'm going to give out another one. I don't know what I'm going to name it yet, but we'll come down with it. They have kept 5 secrets in the NFL. No leaks. I mean, God, everything leaks. Everything leaks. Garoppolo, second round, no leak. Trent Williams, no leak. Moving up, no leak. Trey Lance, no leak.
The No Rat Award.
Under consideration.
Names are my thing, but that's my,
we're
that's
not,
my,
we don't, we're, listen,
that's
we
my
don't,
submission.
We don't give away awards on this show. It's just understood you bring your A game or you're removed. But occasionally we have to acknowledge a special talent. John Lynch had a great bite yesterday. It is unbelievable how they kept that Trey Lance pick from everybody in the war room. Nobody knew it until after the second pick.
It's pretty spectacular.
We're going to hand out an award next hour. Something very special.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
And it's Canner next hour. Ryan Russillo, my buddy, later this hour. Looking forward to the Lakers and the Warriors tonight. I think the Lakers, the Warriors are kind of a messy team. Steph is hiding a lot of the truths, which is that James Wiseman is an odd fit. Clay's hurt. Draymond passed his prime. You know, it's Andrew Wiggins you really trust. And Steph kind of makes it all work, puts him on his back, gets him into the playoffs. I like the Lakers tonight, but I think it is interesting because Steph has the ability to just take over a game for 2.5 hours, and you look up and he's got 47 and you're behind. And what is interesting here, professional sports bettors, the Lakers are a real popular team. So fans generally bet on favorites. They bet Peyton Manning, they bet Brady, they bet Yankees. That's what fans do. Professional bettors often fade the favorites if they think they're overvalued. So the line came out for tonight's game, Lakers by 7 at home. Now it's down to, it was at one point down to 4.5. That tells you professional bettors are fading the Lakers big. Why would that be? A lot of it's Anthony Davis's injuries. I mean, we know LeBron's going to be there and be LeBron. Like, he won't be 100%, but LeBron's going to be fine. I think a lot of this comes down to Anthony Davis. And here's the thing about athletes is, how you age as a pro athlete will tell me how committed you were as a young athlete. And Anthony Davis, to me, feels a little bit like Carmelo Anthony. God gave him gifts he gives almost nobody. But by like 33 years old, Melo was in the same draft class as LeBron. By 33 in Oklahoma City, he was a role player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a role player. There was no grind to Carmelo Anthony. From what I've heard from 2 sources, Anthony Davis is a lot closer to Big Ben than he is Tom Brady. And he's only 28 years old, and his body is falling apart. Remember the game Operation as a kid. Everybody played that game, the little shock thing you'd play, Operation. We ran out of room today with Anthony Davis. He's 28 years old. He has fallen apart. And by the way, this is a very crucial year for the Lakers, and I'll tell you why. Not only is LeBron getting older, not only is increasingly Anthony Davis's body, he can't get through 2 weeks, but Jamal Murray's out this year for Denver. They're not a championship team. Phoenix is probably 1 year away from going from bad to good to title team. Dallas, Luka's going to develop. The story is they're going to go big in free agency and get him a second star. Golden State, Klay Thompson returns. So the time is now for the Lakers. Okay, they don't have a long runway on this thing. Like, LeBron now is dealing with injuries. I don't think he'll have as many next year. The condensed schedule has not been an ally of LeBron James. But, you know, how you treat your body young is how it deteriorates quickly. I mean, Anthony Davis is 28, man. He can't stay healthy. This is not, and bigs, they get hurt early, they get hurt often. So I think it has to be discouraging for LeBron, as I've said, because LeBron and AD fit well together, and AD's an incredibly likable player, and I think LeBron mostly gets along with virtually anybody. I mean, J.R. Smith was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and LeBron James put his arms around him, and they got along fine. Kyrie Irving, for a couple years, they got along fine. But I think it's discouraging because this was the year off the championship into a condensed schedule. LeBron was going to scale back a little, here's a baton. And AD was not in shape. He came into camp. He was not ready to play. And now he's falling apart. And I do think LeBron's not going to go public with it. I think it's discouraging. And LeBron knows clock's running out. Don't have forever. Schroeder's going to leave. They're not going to re-sign him. Anthony Davis is here for the long term. Andre Drummond's leaving. LeBron's going to have to go big free agent market. Steph's got a year more in Golden State. You can't get him right now. So this is going to be very interesting to watch this. If Anthony Davis goes down with an injury in the next 2 weeks, like the LeBron stuff, it's over. Like, there's just no – LeBron's tied to him now. You know, I think he would never say it publicly, but I see a Big Ben thing here. Some guys age great. Melo did not. Big Ben has not. I worry if AD goes down in these playoffs, AD does not. What you put in, you get out later in life with your body as a pro athlete. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, it was a fun night of NBA play-in tournaments. I know everyone's not really a fan of the play-in tournament.
It's fun. It's something. I watched.
I like it.
Yeah, I watched. So if you can get me to a TV, it must be good.
I like it. The Pacers destroyed the Hornets, though. And it wasn't the strongest start to the play-in tournament. Total blowout. They jumped to a 23-9 lead and really never looked back. They won 144-117 last night to advance. Domantas Sabonis led the way with 14 points, 21 rebounds, and 9 assists in the must-win game. The Pacers will now face the Wizards for the final spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I'm going to take Wizards.
Tomorrow night.
I'm going to take Wizards. Bradley Beal will be a little healthier. I'll take the Wizards.
I had the Wizards over the Celtics. Obviously, that did not turn out the way that I thought it would. But yeah, I would also go with the Wizards in this game. LaMelo had 14 points, only 4-14 from field goal attempts.
They got into a huge hole early.
Yeah, you can't go down like that in a must-win game. I guess that's not how it goes. That's too much to overcome. They're a very young team, but look, overall, I think Charlotte should be pretty happy with what they accomplished this season. They're going to have the rookie of the year on their team. They're building a lot, very young team.
And he's also fun to watch. So there's something to be said. Charlotte's been a NASCAR town, an NFL town, not a great NBA town. It's a college basketball town. You need, like, that's why Cam worked there. Like, Cam was interesting. Whether you loved him, he was interesting. LaMelo's interesting to watch.
Yeah, overall, it's a win for them this season. So the Clippers were criticized for resting their star players at the end of the regular season. There's a lot of speculation that move was to avoid an early matchup with the Lakers. Ty Lue is shutting these rumors down. He said, "I don't give a damn what anybody else thinks on the outside. I don't listen to that anyways. At the end of the day, I am the coach of the team. We decided to go with health over anything else. We finally got our team healthy, and that's what we focused on."
Well, he called and yelled at me one time on the phone. I remember where I was sitting. Like, one of the things I like about Ty Lue, he'll just confront you. No passive-aggressive nonsense.
I have
him.
A lot of respect for Ty Lue.
Yeah.
I think he's a great coach. I'm happy that he got another opportunity. If he's saying that this is what he did, then I believe him.
He did say in Cleveland, he goes, if you go to our last two regular season games in Cleveland, I rested guys.
We rested guys. So this isn't new for him.
Those teams had LeBron. Those teams were good at the end of games.
Right.
The Clippers are bizarrely bad last 2 years at the end of games. Couldn't you use a couple of layup wins?
They did have a ton of injuries this season. Serge Ibaka missed 30 games. Kawhi Leonard missed 9 games. Paul George, Patrick Beverley, Marcus Morris, Rondo. So they had a lot of injuries. They're an older veteran team. I am not going to say that Ty Lue is being disingenuous here because I don't believe that he is that type of individual.
It's not his personality.
No. But the optics are going to look that way regardless.
I find the Clippers fascinating because Steve Ballmer, big tech guy, very smart guy. Steve Ballmer's intense.
Yeah.
You could say whatever you want. Smart, number one. Number two is intense. There is no third word I think of. If they lose early in the playoffs, Joy, he's blown it up.
I think you have to. Whether it's right or not, they have the expectations that they should be winning a championship this year.
Maybe we were too fast last year.
The bubble, okay. You know, you didn't have the chemistry, fine. But none of those excuses exist. And look, as far as injuries goes, obviously they had a ton of injuries. So did everybody else.
That's
the story of this season. I mean, look at what the Lakers, you're just talking about what the Lakers have been dealing with. Every team has been dealing with a massive amount of injuries this season. So sometimes that's a reason, but this year, that's what everybody's dealing with. So on top of, you know, COVID protocols and everything else. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that it's unfair to blow it up after this quickly if it doesn't work, because that's what happens when you have expectations. If they were just to put it together and there's no expectations, sure, maybe you can let it simmer for 3 or 4 or 5 years, but they don't have that time. They don't have that window. So probably the most interesting matchup in the first round of the playoffs is the Bucks and the Heat.
This is a great series. This is going to be a great series.
It's the rematch of last year's Eastern Conference semifinals. And it begins on Saturday. If you remember, the Heat made a quick work, nice gentleman sweep of the Bucks last year, 4-1. But Drew Holiday wasn't on the team for the Bucks last year.
And it was the bubble. It was weird.
Still had the 2-time MVP on that team. But Drew's there now. He was complimentary of Miami's toughness and discipline, but he thinks the Bucks have the edge because they have more talent on their team. Obviously, I'm very excited for this series. I'm taking the Heat in the series. I know everyone's going to be shocked at that.
I have the Bucks winning the whole thing, which is really a terrible pick. In the world of my picks, it's one of my worst picks. So they'd have to beat Miami. Miami's got the better coach.
A rough road.
And they got the better star. And to me, Jimmy Butler is really a playoff type player. Both ends of the floor. He's a leader. He's verbal. And then they have to maybe play the Sixers. It's a terrible pick by me. Maybe I'm trying to be nice to Green Bay after all the horrible things I've said. It's a terrible pick, but I do think we dismiss them. They have no pressure. I love Drew Holiday, PJ Tucker.
I do think that Giannis still has a little bit of pressure. We're not talking about them the way that we're talking about the Sixers or the Nets, but I do think Giannis does have a little bit of pressure. If he loses in the first round to the Heat, that's not a good look. And you added Drew Holiday. The excuse machine has run out.
Hey, listen, Budenholzer's gone if they lose in the first round, so be careful about firing Brad Stevens, all these Boston bloggers. Don't even think about getting rid of Brad Stevens, because right to the Bucks in the Midwest and coach him for 8 years.
This NBA playoffs, though, is very unique in that last year was unique, obviously, the bubble. This year it's unique in that every single team is flawed.
Yes.
So fans who are always yelling for parity and Coastal Elites. Well, both those teams have dealt with a ton of injuries. Everyone is flawed. So here it is. Here's the ultimate parody NBA playoffs.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Ryan Russillo is my buddy. Works at The Ringer. He's got a very popular podcast brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, The Best or Nothing. Okay, let me start with this. And they got no chance to win the title, but I don't know if you heard my opening rant. You should have. It was brilliant. But here's the whole point, Russillo.
I heard about it already. That's how big of a deal it was.
So we ask our NBA coaches to do a lot. We're hard on them. They get 19-year-olds. Celtics have had 15 first-round picks, many of them high. They've hit on 2. So what? Stevens has to develop. He has to coach. He has to babysit. We don't ask. We bang on Belichick, but he gets guys 4 years from Alabama ready to play. And all these – I watched the Celtics last night. The minute they take Jason Tatum off the court, God, it's painful. And you're like they got – and I think to myself, are we nuts on Stevens? This is not a championship roster. What do you make of these rumors about Stevens is in trouble?
Well, I don't think he's in trouble, first of all. I think he's a great coach, and I think the franchise had a bad year. But I also think the expectations were way too high for this team because – you know, they'd made it to three Eastern Conference Finals, and you go year by year, they had like a 50-win team that was a one seed that spoke to how terrible the East was. They had the run last year that was probably a little bit more surprising, but not shocking, and Miami beat them because they had better size. And then you have the other year where they lost to the Cavs and LeBron in a seven-game series when, you're right, they had high schoolers out there. So the biggest issue with last night or the close the season, I mean, no Jaylen Brown. So when Tatum comes out now, it's even worse. Kemba has been disappointing for the entire tenure, although he's been a lot better lately. I think the biggest issue for the Celtics, Colin, is that this is year three of never having your top four guys, five guys together for more than a few weeks. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, whether you go back to Hayward or Kemba or Smart or Jaylen and Tatum this year. So I think it's a good team that's talented. They're better than their record, but it just collectively was a group that didn't figure it out this year for a lot of different reasons.
I think I'm probably, because I live in Los Angeles like you, I'm probably too high on the Lakers because they are very good defensively. I think Vogel really fits this roster. Bigs play defense. It's not terribly flashy, even though they have LeBron. They can really grind you down on both ends of the floor. And I think to myself, this is the best team in the league. And then I think, well, God, AD's 28 and he's falling apart. I don't know what I get from LeBron. There's not a ton. And I think to myself, am I just being... like, I'm not being ridiculous here. Pro bettors are fading them heavy tonight. They open 7 down to 4.5. And I think, okay, Russillo, you tell me, where do you have the Lakers in the playoffs?
If they're healthy, they're winning the West. They are. I mean, they had a great record when everybody was on the same page. They were better on paper. And I think as far as the eye test went to start the season than even they were last year, Kuzma feels like he fit better. You know, even though they didn't have the bigs of JaVale and Dwight, that's why they wanted to add an Andre Drummond, who, you know, everybody has a different version of what they think he is, but they wanted to be enormous to kind of throw different bodies at you all the time. And that's why against Golden State, as much as I'd love to come up with any reason, like Golden State could get hot, Steph could go nuts. I mean, but they're not that good. Like, I've watched Golden State all the time because I love watching Steph. This isn't some great team. And the Lakers have out-rebounded by 60 over the regular season. So, you know, there's a reason why they got all these offensive rebounds. There's a reason why they dominated them along the glass. Like, they're going to have Draymond defending Anthony Davis one-on-one. They're going to have to figure out some help there. But, you know, I mean, look, I don't think any of us are wrong. I don't think it has anything to do with where we live, but thinking that if the Lakers can figure this out, they're still the best team in the West.
So we were saying this, Joey and I, before we brought you on. Steve Ballmer's impatient. Kawhi's never been overly loyal. If this thing doesn't work, you could just see it just imploding. And, you know, you talk about expectations. You know, Ballmer, this team's never made a conference championship. So it's like, can we take a deep breath? They aren't the Lakers with 17 titles. And I look at them right now. They're atrocious late in games. I've got my own theories on that. But I don't see a championship team, and I look at Paul George, and Kawhi is going to be done with Paul George if he struggles again in the postseason. Let's just say this. They win a series, they lose in the second round. What do they look like? What do they do? Because I don't think it's going to look like this.
Okay, but they're still going to want Kawhi back no matter what. I mean, everything has been about Kawhi this entire time. So Kawhi can be frustrated with Paul George, but Kawhi was the one that was calling Paul George being like, leave Oklahoma City and come play with me. So Kawhi had as much to do with this. I mean, the reason why the Clippers gave up so much for Paul George because they felt like it was a two-person acquisition here. I've also heard you and Bill Simmons, who I do the Sunday pod with, he was also like, if you're avoiding the Lakers and you're like, hey, we're the Clippers, but you're avoiding them, which is exactly what they're doing, but Ty Lue can't say it. I know that all of you guys are like crushing the Clippers for everybody's crushing the Clippers. You know what I love in life though, is everybody wants everybody else to be the tough guy. All right. Like everyone wants everyone else to be like, oh, you're showing your weakness or you're doing this. If the Clippers sit around and say, hey, the best chance of us getting through this is getting on the other side. And maybe if Anthony Davis goes down and around, we're not facing him and improves our chances. Then I have no problem with the Clippers deciding that they want to get on the other side of the bracket with this. But as far as blowing it up, I mean, they just kind of did some of that stuff. You know, they got rid of the coach, and they're not going to get rid of the coach again. They'd want to keep Kawhi. I guess they could kick the tires on what Paul George's market would be, but it depends on what he looks like in the playoffs here. They do have a really good front office that they've spent a lot of money on, so I guess they could make a change there. But, I mean, you can't just keep turning it over and over and over again when the players are the reason why. And I think maybe some of the rotations from Doc there are why they blew that 3-1 lead last year to Denver.
I'm not even going to touch on Westbrook. Because I don't want to, it's just, there's no reason.
I didn't even want to do it with you.
I'm not going to.
I mean, this isn't new. Like, that's right. He wasn't good in a big game.
Yeah, and I'm all about fresh produce, fresh rants.
So you I'm don't not, ever. I mean, yeah. If you were a stand-up comedian, every city, every night would get a new show.
Okay, so I just want to do one NFL topic. You live at the beach. You're very
Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, just hold on, though. I've defended him. I have defended
Wait.
Him. I have defended him. Now, you're a young, cool guy that lives at the beach. So does he.
Yeah, but that's what everybody says.
I have defended him on this. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, Ron Wolf is like, well, divas. Deshaun, Russell Wilson, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, oh, divas. Because they, you know, they want to hold people accountable. Just rip the Band-Aid off and do it. Because I saw something yesterday, Rosillo, that was interesting. Albert Breer, who you know and respect, went out. And an
executive, I know him.
You know him, okay? And I know him like TV know him. So an executive said you could get Bradley Chubb and 3 first-round picks. Now, first-round picks for Green Bay mean a lot because they don't get free agents. The Rams couldn't give a rip. The Seahawks couldn't. Means a lot. If you could get 3 first-round picks and Bradley Chubb, the only way you're not doing that is if Jordan Love can't play a lick. Favre got a 3rd-round pick. One. Like, I looked at that story and I thought, and Green Bay's not taking calls? Isn't it telling us that Jordan Love can't play a lick?
That scares me because, you know, Colin, I think one of my favorite things about, you know, working in the industry is when you get to know guys that used to play. And what I'd always ask them, like, give me a story about a guy who you drafted, people were kind of excited about. And then after like 2 days of minicamp, you went, oh my God, we made a terrible decision.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. And it happens all the time.
Yes.
You know, like Darren Woodson was one of my favorites. Like he would do it off the air and he'd give me the name because he didn't want to really sell anybody out because everybody's afraid of making fun of anybody now after the Kwame Brown videos. But when I looked at what happened with some of the guys and you'd hear these stories, it's like, there's just something about it. Once you're around the other NFL bodies, you're moving around. Like, I don't know. Look, I don't have insight on the Packers. I don't cover them the entire time. But if you spent the first on him, it meant your evaluation was that you thought this was somebody that could lead a franchise. I'm
That's
not
right.
saying it had to be a top 5 quarterback. So I can understand. Like, I think the football mentality, Colin, this is really what the segment is. The football mentality needs to catch up to the NBA front office mentality and understand that you just don't have the power you think you do. You just don't. And you can sit there and try to play it tough and say, oh, well, fine, you're just not going to play if you're not going to play for us. The players are winning more, and they're winning more often, and they're going to keep winning. And the NFL quarterback is just the next NBA superstar.
That's good stuff, Rosillo. What are you going to do today? Let me guess. Surf, go lift, live the beach life? Is that your life today?
I actually am finishing up my captain's license, so taking out a 50-footer in about 2 hours.
Like, you got time.
I'm quitting this whole sports thing. I'm sick of takes. I'm going to be looking at charts and shoals.
Okay, Rosillo, get out of here. The Ringer, the Ryan Rosillo podcast. Good stuff. Yeah, players are winning more. That's the reality of it. You start paying guys $35 million.
What did Dak make away from football?
$107 million.
Well, I mean, can't like even. Some of that, I guess, was his salaries. But yeah, I don't know the math. Let's say $80 million. We know he made at least $50 million in endorsements. So,
well, if he made $107 million, he made $70 million
That's
in endorsements.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
That, I cannot.
It's really tough to walk up to somebody who makes $70 million away from the sport and play hardball.
Yeah.
Like, once you start getting into the, like, close to $100 million range, it's very easy to be like, I'll just chill. We'll see who wins.
By the way, you always get this.
By the way, who won that? Dak. All that talk about how the Cowboys, nope, Dak won it.
You always get this, too, when somebody gets rich. Well, you've changed. No, what happens is the Packers have changed. Aaron's always been prickly. Aaron's always been a little condescending.
Money just makes you more of what you are.
But Aaron's, we've known what Aaron's been for 7 years.
Exactly.
Green Bay changed, not Aaron. Green Bay got defensive and small and petty. And
they expected Aaron Rodgers, who has always been consistent, to change. Like, now all of a sudden, now that he's accomplished so much, now that he has all this money, now all of a sudden he's supposed to be like a team-friendly guy and like give you a break or like deal with you trading up in the first round to take his replacement, and then he goes and wins an MVP. Like, I don't know. It's
I hear that all the time. Well, the star guy changed. A lot of times it's not the star. It's people get insecure around the star. Green Bay got insecure. When you get let go of his quarterback coach, you don't call. You don't get – that's just being insecure.
But also, to Ryan's point, like, the world has changed. Just because you did something the way you used to do it, like to Ron Wolf's point, this is the way we do things. Well, things change. Well, there is one inevitable in life, change. And things have changed. Guys can make millions and millions and millions of dollars away from the sport with ease, with Instagram posts. They have more leverage and power.
Yeah. And his Canter top of the hour. By the way, we're going to give an award out for John Lynch. He had an amazing bite yesterday. I got to play the bite again. It's incredible.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I always appreciate people who can keep a secret, which is virtually nobody today. Secure people can keep a secret. They don't have to rush out and tell everybody they know everything. It's like, if you can keep a secret, you're secure in yourself. And I know it's hard. Like, it's nice to have something nobody else has. Oh, I got information. I got to share it with people. I get it. I've done that before. I get it. The 49ers are amazing. They literally fooled everybody. Like Adam Schefter. It's Mac Jones. That's who they're taking. And Schefter had a great relationship with the Shanahans because he covered them in Denver. They fooled everybody, took Trey Lance. So John Lynch comes on our show yesterday. And this is incredible. This is how tight, how covert the Trey Lance pick was.
What Kyle and I did was kind of keep it between us in an effort to give the process the due that it deserved. Fairly early on, Kyle and I had zeroed in on Trey. We wanted to hear people's real opinions. But ultimately, we told our owner the week of. We told the people in the draft room, I think, when the second pick was on the board, that that's who we were taking.
Wow.
We wanted to see it all the way through. And at the end, it was really the motivation was to let Trey hear it for the first time from us, from no one else, because I think that's a great surprise that he'll have with him the rest of his life.
That is impressive. Jimmy Garoppolo trade, no leaks. Trent Williams, no leaks. Pursued Brady, no leaks. Trade up to number three, no leaks. Getting Trey Lance, no leaks. But I have a theory on this, my conspiracy theory. Just a little one, tiny one. So why did all the best reporters all go to Mac Jones? Well, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch don't want to burn bridges with media, right? Big name media people. But Mike Shanahan's retired, the legendary coach. And Mike still talks to all the guys that covered him forever, right? So they used Dad as cover. And Dad, they call Mike Shanahan. He's like, boy, I'm hearing they love Mac Jones. Who cares if he burns a bridge? Mike's just, and then Mike can always say, well, Kyle told me they lie. But Kyle and Lynch stayed away from the media, wouldn't talk. Maybe Mike just threw some breadcrumbs out there and the crows, the media crows, circled, hovered, and then attacked. I don't know if it's right. I'm just saying, for all the media guys, men and women, to jump on Mac Jones, that's information.
I mean, I was in shock. They took Trey Lance.
But let's give out an award. We don't do this very often.
Yes.
Literally no front office is better. And these have been big moves. Garoppolo from Belichick, no leaks. Up to three, no leaks. Pursued Brady, no leaks. We found out about that later. Trent Williams, left tackle, no leaks. We're gonna create an award. We're going to create a new product on our show. It will be given... We're going to call it You've heard of Flex Seal?
Oh, yeah, that you like keep the boat afloat with?
No leaks. This is our new product on the herd given to teams that don't leak anything. San Fran Seal. NFL secrets in a can. It stops leaks fast. The quietest front office in the National Football League. You put on San Francisco Seal, nothing leaks. Because it is hard to keep a small secret, a medium-sized secret. This stuff is in, and San Francisco's a big city. You got multiple papers, multiple talk radio.
Isn't that a good feeling, though, like knowing somebody has a secret for you and they're definitely not going to say anything?
Do you have a big secret in your life? I got one right now.
Oh, right now?
Major.
I could probably pry it out of you.
It's major, could change a lot of things. And I use San Francisco Seal. Not saying a word. Live in LA, hour two next.